Friday, July 4th. The first reading from Genesis chapter 23, verses 1 through 4 and 19, and chapter 24, verses 1 through 8 and 62 through 67. The span of Sarah's life was 127 years. She died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham performed the customary mourning rites for her. Then he left the side of his dead one and addressed the Hittites, "Although I am a resident alien among you, sell me from your holdings a piece of property for burial ground, that I may bury my dead wife." After the transaction, Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the cave of the field of Machpelah, facing Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Abraham had now reached a ripe old age, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. Abraham said to the senior servant of his household who had charge of all his possessions, "Put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not procure a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live, but that you will go to my own land and to my kindred to get a wife for my son Isaac." The servant asked him, "What if the woman is unwilling to follow me to this land? Should I then take your son back to the land from which you migrated?" "Never take my son back there for any reason," Abraham told him. "The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house in the land of my kin, and who confirmed by oath the promise he then made to me, 'I will give this land to your descendants,' he will send his messenger before you, and you will obtain a wife for my son there. If the woman is unwilling to follow you, you will be released from this oath, but never take my son back there." A long time later, Isaac went to live in the region of the Negev. One day toward evening he went out in the field, and as he looked around, he noticed that camels were approaching. Rebekah too was looking about, and when she saw him, she alighted from her camel and asked the servant, "Who is the man out there walking through the fields towards us?" "That is my master," replied the servant. Then she covered herself with her veil. The servant recounted to Isaac all the things he had done. Then Isaac took Rebekah into his tent, he married her, and thus she became his wife. In his love for her, Isaac found solace after the death of his mother Sarah. Haydah Commentary. Sarah is the only woman whose age the scripture specifies, a distinction which her exalted dignity and faith deserved. She was a figure of the Christian church. The Jews are still accustomed to say when they bury their dead, "Ye fathers who sleep in Hebron, open to him the gates of Eden," herein agreeing with the Catholic doctrine as they did in the days of Judas the Maccabee. The Jews still observe the custom of sitting upon the hand of the person who takes an oath. The two patriarchs, Abraham and Jacob, are the only ones in Scripture whom we find practicing it, whence St. Augustine and St. Ambrose conclude that it had a reference to the mysterious birth of our Redeemer. Abraham was in hopes that a partner worthy of Isaac might be found among his relations, and thus he has left an instruction to all parents to be solicitous for the real welfare of their children and to dissuade them earnestly from marrying with infidels, a thing which God forbade in the Old Law, as the Church still does in the New. "He will send his angel before thee." These words show that the Hebrews believe that God gave them guardian angels for their protection. This is a proof of the antiquity of our belief respecting angel guardians. Rebekah prefigures the Gentiles, whom Jesus calls by his servants laden with his gifts to become his spouse or his church at the fountain of baptism. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post. He said to him, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him. While he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. The Pharisees saw this and said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" He heard this and said, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice.' I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Haydah Commentary. It is remarked by St. Jerome that the other evangelist, out of respect to this apostle, did not call him Matthew, the name he generally went by, but Levi. Whereas he, in his own gospel, to show the goodness of God who from a publican had made him an apostle, styles himself Matthew the publican. So says St. Thomas Aquinas. It is most probable, says St. Augustine, that St. Matthew does not mention what had happened to him before he began to follow Jesus, for it is supposed that this evangelist was called antecedent to the Sermon on the Mount. St. Matthew mentions his vocation to the apostleship as one of the miracles that Jesus performed, for certainly it was a great miracle for a publican to become an apostle. When we hear the voice of God calling us to virtue, we must not delay. The devil, says St. Basil, does not advise us to turn entirely from God, but only to put off our conversion to a future time. He steals away our present time and gives us hopes of the future. But when that comes, he steals that also in the same manner, and thus by giving us present pleasure, he robs us of our whole life. Jesus called St. Matthew with two words only, "Follow me," and presently he left all and became his disciple. This doubtless was by a particular inspiration and motion of divine grace. Those that are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. The explication of these words is, "I converse with sinners that I may heal their souls from incredulity." I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The righteous appear to be mentioned ironically, for St. Paul asserts in Romans 3 that none on earth were just, all have sinned and need the glory of God. So says St. John Chrysostom. Christ came to call all men, both just and unjust, since he called Nathanael, who was a just man. But the meaning of the words is, "I came not to call you, scribes and Pharisees, who esteem yourselves just, and despise others, and who think you have no need of a physician, but I came to call those who acknowledge themselves sinners." So says Theophylactus. Or again the meaning may be, "I came not to call the just, because there are none just of themselves, and who stand not in need of my coming. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." Christ here prefers mercy to sacrifice, for as St. Ambrose says, there is no virtue so becoming a Christian as mercy, but chiefly mercy to the poor. For if we give money to the poor, we at the same time give them life. If we clothe the naked, we adorn our souls with the robe of justice. If we receive the poor harborless under our roof, we shall at the same time make friends with the saints in heaven, and shall afterwards be received by them into their eternal habitations. So says St. Ambrose. The words, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," occur in the prophet Hosea, chapter 6. The Pharisees thought they were making a great sacrifice and acceptable to God by breaking off all commerce with sinners. But God prefers the mercy of the charitable physician, who frequents the company of sinners, but merely to cure them.